Welcome to the Lost Art Podcast, presented by Apadura, Albion, Curve, Peak Design, Puck, Rounded GPS, and Supernova. I'm Jenny Tuff, and I'm your host for the Transcontinental Race number 11. It's day 9 of the race, and riders are spread all across Italy and the Balkans. Control Point 3 closed this morning at 9 a.m. Many riders put in big pushes across France and the parcours on the Asiata to make it, while others had to go straight to the control point to get a stamp first, then turn around and take on the parcours. This is allowed in the rules, but leaves them with a lot of extra work to stay in the GC contention. I'm really rooting for all these riders. Chasing the control point closures is a stressful task and shows a lot of grit and integrity to not give up. Our control point volunteer Sybil, along with photographer Michael Drummond, have been up all morning greeting in the riders. Cap 373, Tina Zarchi, is rocking it in her Converse sneakers and flat pedals. Here she is getting her third control stamp.
To arrive here was great, because I know the day ended, but it was too much parkour for me, the gravel time. At one point, I was really thankful that we had it, because I saw that astonishing nature that probably I would never see in my entire life. But on the other side, it was really hard for me, with the road bike, doing that much of parkour. But it was, you know, the balance, I don't know. I feel sorry for those who did it in nighttime, because they didn't see it at all.
Are you lucky to be here?
Yeah.
I'm heading the coast.
Oh, in my mind, I'm like, just Italy, and then I'm in Albania, and in Albania, I'm going to sit in a bar and order an Albanian cognac, and that's it. Because I'm a Balkan woman, I'm from Slovenia. It's like being on the base ground. Oh. So I'm really looking forward to this Italy part, because it's a really nice one. I already cycled Italy. It's really nice. I felt the safest in Italy. And then ferry to the Balkans. It's good.
Cap 44, Miko Makipa, is a TCR legend. He has finished every single year within GC.
And how was your night? I mean, I know you've done TCRs every year now, but how was it to do the Assiette and Finestra?
It was more or less as I expected. Like, I would still remember, overall profile from years ago, since 2015, so not so much new. Then I did it a little earlier, so that I arrived Finestra when it was dark, but I did most of Assiata in the light hours. So it was more or less what I expected. Still a little slower, but what I expected.
Got you.
Cap 50, Nadine Ansorg, took the strategy to get her stamp first before turning back to ride the third parcours.
Just tell us, you've arrived here and a lot of the volunteers have been watching your dot, very intrigued by your actions. So could you just explain to us what your thinking was and what you've done?
Yeah, so I rode like all the way yesterday, and then I kind of did all the climbs, and I realized, okay, I will not make it to the CP in time if I do the parkour as well. So I thought, okay, maybe I can just go to the CP first and then do the parkour afterwards. So here I am.
Excellent. So where did you start yesterday to kind of got to Sestria and then realized maybe it wasn't possible? Did you get caught up in something, or was it just...
No, so the days before I had pretty bad saddle sore, and I like was very miserable and didn't do as much as I wanted to, and I stayed in Orange, however you say that.
Satsuma, that's okay.
And and I started there yesterday morning and thought, okay, maybe I can do this, but I like still had saddle sores, still have them, and so I still kind of like need to nurse them and so on. So it took me a long time.
So now you're looking for food and coffee.
Yes.
And what are you doing after?
Probably go climb back up to the parkour and did a parkour and then come down again.
And he only went and did it with 7 minutes to spare, cap 244. George Maltz got his third stamp.
I didn't think I would make it.
No.
Honestly, I didn't think I would make it because of the mountains and the gravel. I thought I would arrive here at 9:15 or something like that.
Yeah.
But now I'm here, so yeah, I'm really happy. And I'm overwhelmed, and I'm really... yeah, in Mont Geneva, blood was running out of my nose. After I sneezed a little bit, then I had to find a public toilet because the blood was running and running and running. That was not a good look, you know. people might have called the police. So that was just one issue which delays you another 20 or 30 minutes. Yeah.
What other delays were you dealing with along the way?
Punctures.
Yeah.
Yeah. Punctures. And then I wanted to save the tubes and I put some patches on. And then obviously 10 minutes later, those patches blew up again.
And so are you going to be resting here now, getting yourself rehydrated? What's the plan from here on in?
That's a very good question. I thought when I arrived here that I will immediately crash and sleep, but I don't know if I will carry on, maybe. Because if I can't sleep, I mean, why not carrying on? But maybe in 10 minutes' time you will see me and... laying in a corner here.
Excellent. Well, I mean, props for getting here, and yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Down at Control Point 4, the Midpack riders are tackling the two gravel segments and trying to calculate their own decisions for the crossing to Albania. The question of which ferry to get and when to make your call and buy a ticket, in many cases, trying to secure a cabin to have a proper sleep, can be a big task for a tired rider. No one wants to be in the position of having to race hard to make the boat, but missing a crossing can sometimes mean a long wait. On the other hand, Italy feels like the last good opportunity to get any fancy resupplies. I've had my share of big mechanicals in the Balkans, and while there are bike shops, it's unlikely you'll find replacement parts if you're running a ritzy setup. Our reporter Sophie has been catching up with riders to find out what their strategies are. Here's Cap 59, Mike Fawcett.
What's your plan, though?
I just want to ride as fast as I can. I've had... quite a few holdups, mechanical stuff that slowed me down. I think I would have been on the ferry tonight had it not been for that. So I think they're all sorted. So I just want to ride for a bit without having to stop, you know?
What do you have in your back pockets?
All my food. This is my technique. I just buy as much as I can carry. And then that way I don't have to stop for like 12, like this food will last me 18 hours.
Do you know how many sandwiches do you have back there?
I think I've got six or seven. That's the method I've developed.
It's a good one.
And Cap 137, Cynthia Carson, has been on a steady chase despite being plagued with punctures. She took a bit of a tumble today in the heavy coastal crosswind, but still made it to Bari with time to spare, where she met up with Sophie and Hannah.
Where are you going now?
I'm going to a pharmacy to pick up some additional Band-Aids.
Is it for your...
Yes. The wind knocked me over today. It was so strong, so...
Are you okay?
I'm fine. Yeah, I just... road rash. I need to get some...
Did you have a crosswind today?
It was the worst wind.
Yeah. How did you sleep?
That was a long time ago. That was the last time I saw you. Yes. Yeah, I slept really hard on my sofa at the bar.
That sofa was so short.
I took the ottoman and I put my feet on top of the ottoman, both one on one.
Comfy.
I mean, when you're sleep deprived and you've ridden 3,000 plus K,
you sleep everywhere.
Anything is, as long as it's warm.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Did you, beside the wind, what happened today?
This was a bummer. And also, you know, you think you're going to get somewhere faster, and then you don't. And that's, like, soul-crushing. You're like, I'm going to be there with plenty of time to do everything. And yeah. then the headwind is like, sorry, we have other plans for you. It was hot. Probably the hottest it's been the whole time for me was in that.
What about your tire?
My tire is... I'm not going to say what it is because I don't want to jinx it, but I do have, I had another puncture.
They're going to have a bad review.
but I plugged it and it's been fine. I stopped at a bike shop on the way here in one of the towns, and nobody makes big road tires. Like, Italians want to ride 23s, and I'm like, can I get a 34, please? I'm American, the bigger the better, is that what they say? No, I'm joking. I got another tube, so I have plenty of tubes. I have so much stuff, so I might even, if I have time, buy more sealant, but I'm not sure I'll have time. I should have done that at the bike shop that I was there at, but I forgot and I was gone. And...
All right.
I will go.
Yes.
Maybe see you at the ferry.
And the record holder for the fastest woman to cycle around the world, Leia Wilcox with Cat 112, is right behind.
Big push, huh?
I made it. I made it. Yeah, that was a really crazy thing to do. But it worked. This is kind of a gamble, big time. Who does that?
You know. Except you, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, okay. I just had to listen to how, what I was like feeling. And I was like, I'm going to hang back, sleep long, chill, do my thing. And then I just have to be able to close the gap. And then I did.
Because last time you told me that you were thinking of the ferry since day two.
Yeah.
So you've been preserving yourself.
Yeah, I knew. And then I thought, oh, whoever's like in the best shape on the other side of the sea is going to be rocking it. And then it kind of worked out to where I was like, it almost feels like I was like building my engine, which is so weird. I was like doing all these experiments. Like, okay, first of all, the bike is crazy. I'm riding a gravel bike on a race that's 98% paved with a suspension fork. Who does that? And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to sleep like 5 hours every night. And then, you know, people would get hours and hours ahead of me because I was sleeping and resting. But I was like, I had this idea of like rest cycles and like letting my body adapt as I went. And now I have like crazy legs.
That's what's the...
Yeah. So it's cool. You know, I don't know. I've been racing forever and I always kind of do it the same way where I'm really strict. And then I was like, let's just change it. And because we have such a good women's field, I kind of can, you know, I'm not just like me versus her. It's like, there's like a different dynamic.
And I think you work well when you have like a carrot in front of you as well.
I love chasing. Yeah. I'm like comfortable there. I haven't checked the tracker for like days because it doesn't matter because of the ferry. I was like, none of this matters except getting to the ferry. And then I was like, wow, I kind of made this hard for myself.
All right. We're going to let
you. See you later. Yeah. I got to get back in the game.
Control Point 5 is now ready to receive a stream of riders. Here's our reporter Jake on this Balkan segment of the race.
So the fifth parkour is, like many on this race, have been a floating parkour. And now what that means is that the parkour is not directly associated with the control. So unlike in Pechenco, for example, where you validate your brevet card at the control and then head off up the parkour directly, the control in this case is detached. And this is done for a very particular reason, and that is to force routing choices. So in its design, there are several options that people can take, including a slightly longer paved diversion or a more direct off-road approach. We've seen the field split so far in terms of what people have chosen to do. The two leading riders went round, Martin having recce'd earlier in the year and decided that his setup and bike handling weren't enough to give him the edge on the direct approach. But we have seen other riders gain the edge. Whatever their route, riders will arrive at CP5, the fifth and final control of TCR number 11, which is actually a throwback to the third control of TCR number 9, Villa Brucci in Burel. And Wesley is very happy to have riders back on his doorstep once again.
It's not the first time Lost Dot events have come through this Burel haven, and they're still happy to have us back. Here's business manager Wesley, one of the characters that makes the TCR what it is.
My name is Wesley. I'm part of Villa Brucci Hotel staff and family, of course.
Well, Wesley, you're back by popular demand.
I'm glad. I'm glad of that, for sure. And I hope this time we will be more prepared.
What's different this year, then?
Big pots of food.
And big, it's your mum cooking, right?
Yeah, it was always her, but this time we're more prepared. We know what's coming, so I think we should be okay this time.
So I heard, Wesley, that your dad said something when you asked to order in all the alcohol-free beers. What was that?
So basically, I knew from last time that the riders, they love the alcohol-free beer. And I just told my dad we should get some. And he said, if they don't drink all of a full case, you're going to have to drink them yourself. But we're already half through a case and it's just day one. So I think we're on the right track.
So you think you're going to be on full fat beers
I don't think I'll be needing any alcohol beers for myself.
The TCR is founded on simple rules of unsupported and fair bicycle racing. To manage 400 riders across an entire continent, the race relies on a volunteer team of dot watchers who do their best from their own desktops at home to monitor each and every rider to ensure compliance with the rules. Of course, through social media, riders are constantly flagged and scrutinized by followers of the race, and stories are brought to the attention of race director Andrew Phillips to investigate. Following a social post that was flagged by some followers, he went to chat to race leader Victor and clarify his situation.
Do you want to go over here by the shade? Oh yeah, over here is good. How are you doing? Good.
We wanted to talk to you because we were just made aware of a video on Instagram from when you were approaching the ferry. You talk about chatting to someone who's making calculations for you about getting to the ferry. And the problem is that's basically outside support. I just wanted to ask you what that was and... hear your side of the story.
From my group of family, I talked about my day and...
I'll just recap here as the audio isn't ideal. Victor's explaining to Andrew that he has a friend and family group chat where his loved ones are cheering him on and also telling him how far he had to go to catch the ferry.
How many kilometers I have to do to reach the ferry. Yes.
Okay, that's a bit of a problem. It's not allowed. That's classed as outside support because it's obviously an unsupported race, and if you have people at home telling you how many kilometers you have to do and things like that, then it's like having a race manager and it's not allowed.
Okay.
We'll have to take a look at what we're going to do there.
Okay.
So we just found out about it and I wanted to talk to you as soon as possible and get your side of things.
Victor states his case that it's complicated to separate friends and family sending messages of encouragement from actually receiving support. He and Andrew discuss a little the challenging nuance of the situation. Of course, almost all riders are spending time on their phones chatting to loved ones who are understandably excited about the race and looking at the road ahead for the dots they're cheering for.
What is support?
It's okay. That is difficult. I understand. I obviously don't want to be in the situation either. And I realise that you're riding an amazing race and that's going to be really upsetting, but obviously we have to be fair with all riders for the rules, so sorry.
Thank you. You do your job.
So can you show me your process when you're on the bike if you don't have anyone telling you, right?
After hearing his side of the story, Andrew also checks Victor's route files that he has with him to verify. Victor shows Andrew his routing apps and calculator that he's been using while riding.
I just make my calculation like this. 23, so it's 3, 6 hours. And I have my pace. I always doing this. Yesterday I doing this every hours.
Right. Okay.
Every hours I make a calculation.
Okay. So, let's just make sure that we like fully understand what's happening, and then I think it's better for you and it's better for us.
It's just encouragement and nothing else.
Okay. You see how so your video which you posted yesterday really it makes it sound like.
No, I just want to thank him
because
he give me his trust and his words give me a lot of confidence.
Okay, well I'm quite reassured by this.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk to my colleagues
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll just make
I'm,
sure.
I totally understand why you say that, but I always want to be in the rules. Like last year, I did all my best to not be out the rules. So yeah.
Okay. Well, I tell you what. Why don't you, if you've got time, this is up to you. But if you've got time, why don't you get a cold drink?
Yeah.
And I'll speak to my colleagues, and we'll, yeah.
Okay.
I'll come back to you. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Victor.
Thank you.
In the end, after a bit more investigation, the race organization is happy that Victor is riding a clean race and understands the rules of self-support. The matter is closed, and Victor Bossoni is now racing onwards to Romania and that final parcours. We're still rooting for all the racers trying to reach Constanta. Here are more of our voice note postcards from the field, starting with bursary rider Liz Gardner, cap 379, who has continued on after her pair had to scratch early in the race.
Hi, I'm still having an amazing journey, absolutely loving it. Now I'm into the Alps, it's absolutely gorgeous. Love climbing mountains, and actually the scenery is out of this world. It's fantastic. And a nice high. I was going down a road and this family sort of jumped out on me and started cheering me on, so I went back and had a photo with them, and they're really big fans of TCR, so that was really nice. Yeah, I just still really enjoying the experience. It is like a mad race, and the people that are nearly at the end, it's just incredible to think how far they've gone. And it's one of those experiences that is sort of makes you think a lot about different things in life, really, which is brings you back down to basics, I think, doesn't it, about life. I've also lost a bra. Gosh, I don't know where that went. So I'm down to two on those. But that's about it. That's where I'm at. I'm heading towards parkour 3 tomorrow. But yeah, that's it.
Okay, we're going to send you the audio message from the back of the race now.
The back of the pack.
The back of the pack. Backpack. Okay. I'm Sue, cap number 126.
And I'm Gary Davis, cap number 56.
And we've been playing hide and seek all day, and then we finally met each other just earlier. We were so happy to see each other.
Sue somehow snuck by me.
and
I was lost on my detours.
And I even had a McDonald's stop. Got a mango boba ice cream. It's not a boba, it's something pop out of a mango flavor.
Oh, you're making me drool now. I need ice cream. It's 8 o'clock at night, sun's still up, beautiful weather, and but I need ice cream.
Okay, maybe you can get the hotel sorted and then you can have some. And now it's really, really pretty here. We are before the mountains of CP3. It has been freaking hot. It was anything between 34 to 36 today and yesterday.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're enjoying it. And the goal still go to Romania.
Absolutely.
But the next immediate goal is definitely get to Italy. And I've been looking forward to it as well.
Hopefully soon.
Yeah. Okay. Love you. Ciao, ciao. You say bye?
See ya. Thanks much. Bye.
And now here's our race reporter, Sophie, with her recap on day 9.
So what happened today? We spent the morning at CP4, where the riders who arrived there, they had no chance to catch the ferry on the evening because it's like 300 kilometers-ish away. So they have to wait for the next one tomorrow at 1 p.m. But as always, you never know what can happen on the road. So some riders left quickly to wait near the ferry terminal, when others made a big mistake, in my opinion. They sat down on a chair. If you want to leave fast, that's the worst thing to do. Time goes by very fast when you're sitting anywhere else than on your saddle. As we are about to leave Italy, here's a short summary of what the riders ate so far. Pizza for breakfast, pizza for lunch, pizza for dinner. But Florian Cap 142 said tuna paste in a tube, so basically mayonnaise but with tuna, is the best thing in Italy. Same for Dave Cap 250 about lemon soda. Well, agree to disagree. I hope the riders still on that side enjoy the Dolce Vita as much as you can. We had no ice cream in Control Car 2 and we are leaving Italy. I just can't believe it. But back to the race. On the afternoon, we drove to the ferry and saw Lel Cap 112 and Cynthia Cap 137. They were riding not far from each other. Both wanted to take care of their bikes before jumping on the ferry. So basically their bikes now have around 3,500 km. The brake pads are just asking for mercy, and Cynthia's tires had many punctures, so she was really hoping to find a solution for that before Albania, because the road condition there is not as good as what they had so far. At the ferry terminal in Bari, Paul Cap 167 came really prepared with a big cardboard with looks like 5 kilos of foods ready for the ferry, but also for the final big push, so he doesn't have to wait. So he's ready to ride as soon as he leaves the ferry. Speaking of ferry, there are 3 ferry companies. They all leave at the same time, but will they arrive at the same time? We don't know. So let's see who of the 15 riders that are taking the ferries tonight choose the right one. Lel chose the slow ferry, she said, which will arrive like 15 minutes later than the others, but it was the only one with a cabin, so what is 15 minutes compared to a good night of sleep? We will see. Now, TCR Gossip Girl moment. On the internet, I saw that the riders still in France and north of Italy are riding in a heat wave, 37 degrees something. But Florian Cap 9 had a really smart idea against the heat. He put 5 ice pops inside his jersey to cool down. Some numbers before the ferry leaves. So today, 283 riders are still on the road. In that, there is 219 riders still in the general classification, so ahead of the cutoff. There are 12 pairs still out there. Great jobs. No argument. On Sunday, 2 riders crossed into Albania. There was 5 on Monday, included the 2 times TCR winner Christoph Strasser, Cap 2. And in tonight's ferry, there is 15 riders, including the 3 leading women. So tonight we are also on the ferry to Albania. Tomorrow is a new race, inside the race. And I think the Strasser will love it. Huh? Can't wait to arrive in Albania. See you on the other side. And until then, good night and good ride.
And your favorite segment, Sophie's Bravery Badge.
My bravery badge of the day goes to Petra, Cap 116. Petra is not new to TCR. She's raced 3 times as a pair and 2 times solo. But the day after yesterday, she arrived near the beginning of the Parcours 3, but knew, because the Parcours 3 is gravel and then slower, she would not be able to make it on time before the cutoff at the CP, so she went down with a faster route, straight to the CP, got the stamp on time, and turned around to climb back on the parkour. So basically, it had kilometers, elevation, but also having to go backwards. And when you've put so much effort in moving forward, it's definitely a sign of bravery. I believe many would have just decided to let go on the GC maybe, but not Petra, so it shows a lot of grit and integrity to not give up. So definitely see you in Romania, Petra.
Thanks for listening to the Lost Dot podcast. You can stay up to date with the race on our blog and social channels, where the Lost Dot team are reporting on stories from all ends of the race throughout the day. Thanks to our race partners, Apadura, Albion, Curve, Peak Design, Hawk, Ride with GPS, and Supernova. To all of our riders out there, stay safe. And if you're in Italy today, make sure you enjoy some gelato while you can.